Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker, in for Meghna Chakrabarty. For the first time in a generation, Bostonians will elect a new mayor this fall. WBUR is looking at the challenges facing each Boston neighborhood in our series, Boston Mayoral Race, Square by Square.
WBUR reporter Kurt Nickisch traveled to Andrew Square in South Boston, where he found many residents concerned about drugs and crime, especially after the brutal murder of 24-year-old Amy Lord this summer. Here's an excerpt from Kurt's report, which aired this morning on Morning Edition.
South Boston had seen plenty of crime before, but this one rattled. A young woman on her way to the gym early one morning in July was cornered and beaten, forced to go to five ATMs, and then murdered. Her car was discovered burning just down from Andrew Square. At a community meeting a week later, Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis tried to reassure worried residents that the attack was not related to drugs.
But after a fast review in the last few days of the continuing problems of drug abuse in Southie, and after conferring with Mayor Menino, we've decided to put an additional drug unit into Southie and keep them here.
Drug arrests here lately run the gamut from heroin and cocaine use to prescription drugs with names like oxycodone, clonidine, and Suboxone. Grabbing the microphone, Helen Alex said she welcomes more drug enforcement where she lives, in Andrew Square. She also has issues with a drug treatment center in Roxbury, just over Southampton Street from the square. She says it brings recovering narcotics users to her neighborhood.
Now, if we could put a gate over Southampton to keep the methadones out, we'd be great.
Here, at a public meeting in a neighborhood reeling from a senseless murder, you get a taste for the big appetite that people around Andrew Square have for their next mayor. They do want more police on their streets, but they also want better treatment services, and they also want more prevention efforts.
Instead of just banging them in the head after they're addicted, nobody wants to see their son or daughter strung out in Andrew Square, sitting in the station waiting for the next fix.
A resident of Andrew Square in South Boston, ending that excerpt of a report from WBUR's Kurt Nickisch. Joining us now to talk more about the challenges of drug addiction and treatment in South Boston is John McGann. He's the president and CEO of the Gavin Foundation, which runs a variety of drug treatment centers. And John McGann, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. You've been working in this field since Mayor Menino took office back in 1993. I'd like to ask you a little bit about how you view the substance abuse problem, how it's changed over time in the part of the city that you're focused on.
20 years ago, the main drug of choice was alcohol and cocaine. And since that time, we've seen it switch from cocaine and crack to the opiates, the pills, the Oxycontin, and on to heroin. So that's been the change in the substances.
Yeah. So what does that mean in terms of how to tackle this problem? Or first of all, how serious this problem is?
This problem is, it's an epidemic of proportion. It's not just in South Boston, it's across the entire city and across the entire Northeast. I mean, I talked to my colleagues through federal connections that everywhere in the Northeast is struggling with Oxycontin, and even as far south as Florida, where the pill manufacturers are shipping it up here. So, I mean, it's a huge problem, Oxycontin.
And when you talk about opiates like heroin, for example, and I remember talking to you many years ago about this high degree of purity, readily available, and in many cases cheaper than a six-pack for these young addicts.
And unfortunately, that hasn't changed.
So what does that say about what needs to happen on a sort of policy level in this city? And we're, you know, having this conversation in the context of a mayoral race and sort of the challenge that the next mayor has to face.
Well, first, I'd like to say that, you know, the last thing we want to do is throw a rock at the Boston Police Department, because they've got an uphill battle. Andrew Square is one section of South Boston where there's a train station. It's a five-way intersection. It's a very busy intersection. There's a lot of traffic there, foot traffic, automobile traffic, bus and train. the police can move them away, and they can move them out of South Boston and move them to Quincy, and the next thing you know, Quincy's going to move them back. It's almost like grass. You can mow it, but it's going to grow back. And as long as the demand for the product is there, the product will be there. Hmm. So what we have to do is we have to increase not only treatment but prevention strategies, and we need to get prevention into the schools at every age level, have it be age-appropriate, evidence-based practices in every school in the Commonwealth.
So is that a suggestion that those kinds of programs aren't in the schools right now? Is that sort of the biggest missing piece in terms of tackling this challenge?
I think part of what happens is they're in some schools and not in every school. Gavin Foundation has a program where we go and we'll do it in some schools, and then some schools say they don't need our services, they have something else, but we know that it's not in every school.
Hmm. Well, both Marty Walsh and John Connolly have called for a city office targeting addiction. John Connolly mentioned this in his campaign kickoff speech in March, talking about the need to better integrate the city's services. Let's listen.
You shouldn't have to know a politician to get access to a bed in a recovery house.
So a lot of passion there. But John McGann, what would you like to see the new administration do in terms of addiction treatment and recovery?
Well, I think it's multi-pronged. Mm-hmm. First, you need prevention in all the schools, mm-hmm. sports programs. We need more diversionary stuff for first-time offenders. We need more reintegration work. We need more ongoing recovery support services. And we need to increase access depending upon what substances you use. There is still a segment of the population which is using marijuana and cocaine and crack, and those people don't get access to a medical detoxification. Hmm. So if somebody in Roxbury is doing marijuana and crack and somebody in South Boston is doing opiate and alcohol, one is going to enter the treatment system and one is going to directly into the criminal justice system, and that's something that has to be addressed as well, and that's an insurance issue that we need to address.
Well, big challenges. John McGann, I know you've been looking at this for a long time. John McGann is the president and CEO of the Gavin Foundation, which runs a variety of drug treatment centers in South Boston. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And tune in, listeners, to All Things Considered. In just a few minutes, WBUR's Sasha Pfeiffer goes on a walking tour of Andrew Square and examines other issues in Boston's mayoral race.
And lastly today, another installment of WBUR's Kind World Project. It's where we celebrate random acts of kindness and the profound impact they can have on others. Today, on the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, we hear from Wellesley resident Angelique Tung. She was in New York City for a business meeting. On that day 12 years ago, she was inside the South Tower when the first plane hit the World Trade Center.
It was about 8:30 in the morning, and my boss and a group of people came around the corner and said, "We have to get out of the building. There's been an explosion next door." So we went to the stairwell. As we were walking down, we felt the impact of the second plane. The building swayed back and forth, and the lights went out, and it started to smell like gas. And so we knew something really bad had happened. So we got down to the ground level, and we walked across the train tracks and then up out onto the street level. It was really strange because there would be empty cabs driving by and empty limos driving by, and no one wanted to pick anyone up. They just wanted to get out of the city as fast as they could. The scene on the street was just people gathered around, hugging and crying and screaming and just in total disbelief of what had happened. And then the next day, my San Francisco colleague and I took a train to his sister's house in Rye, New York. We got out of the train station, and it ended up that we got a ride from this man, and he asked us where we were going, and he picked us up, and he took us from the train station to this house. And I don't remember having a conversation or asking him where he was or if anything had happened to him. I think he could probably see that we were pretty worn as well, and so, you know, he dropped us off, and I just remember doubling over in the driveway thinking, I can't believe that this stranger helped us that day, because it felt like the previous day when we were trying to get uptown, we were trying to get away from what had happened at the World Trade Center, nobody would look at us or give us a ride or help us out. And it was just remarkable that this man had stopped for us that day. And I know he wanted to get home to his family. And, you know, it was just so meaningful. I left the World Trade Center with nothing. I had no money. I had no phone. I had no way to contact my family. And the idea that somebody willingly asked if we needed something, somebody willingly asked if they could help us, that simple act of generosity coming from somebody who I would never see again, didn't ask for anything in return, just, you know, that ride meant the world to me that day.
That story submitted to WBUR's Kind World Project by Angelique Tung from Wellesley. Share your story of a random act of kindness. Email us at kindworld@wbur.org.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker. Join us tomorrow for more Radio Boston.